I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with that super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. How you doing, Big Dave?
I'm doing good.
So this week's topic, letting go, kicked off on Sunday on Stress Mastery Weekend Edition with host Mark Middlestead on the nature of attachment. On Monday with the Super Millennial, it was Master Being Bad. This week's Health Huddles, we talked on the stress response and letting go. In Meeting of the Minds, we discussed opportunities and we talked about the stress response and the mind and the brain. On Connection Thursday, we did an episode on rewriting your book. And today is our final book study on A Happy Pocket Full of Money by David Cameron Gyandi. So we will be finishing the book today, people. And it's kind of like I've enjoyed this one. This one I've enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. It's one that I got a lot out of myself. So that was cool.
So the next book is The Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu. So that's it. It's called Lasting Happiness in a Changing World, The Book of Joy. So we'll start that next week, and I'm excited to do this book. I've liked it so far. I've been reading it, and I'm enjoying it. So that'll be our next book study. And we'll finish up this one, and it's been a quite a week. It's been a good week for us, and thank you for all the kind words from yesterday's episodes. I've received an outpour of just wonderful, wonderful feedback. Thank you. And yes, we are looking for about 15 ways to back things up now.
Yeah, for sure.
We're learning. We're reconstructing everything. So I'm doing my best to reconstruct, but it's a lot of rewrites, but it's okay. You know what's a good thing about the rewrites, David? It's all in my head. It's yeah. All there. It's not like I won't have writer's block. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would say you got plenty to go off of.
So do you have anything you want to go on? Anything that you want to discuss? By the way, you had a nice compliment in the community by Heather. And she was a new listener. New listener anymore. It came in December. And she started listening, I guess, to some of the back episodes. She's saying how much you have grown. And if you want to, somebody's growth, you want to see a millennial growth, just go back and listen to the episodes. Go back in a couple hundred episodes and listen, and you'll see a big difference. And even the commentary, your own solo episodes, everything's changed. So people noticing, David, they're noticing your growth.
So thank you for all that. And then thank you, Heather, for, noticing that. It sucks to go back sometimes. The listener's like, damn, David, just shut up. What are you saying? But it's cool to see that the more, you do this consistently and kind of, over time, because that's all it is. I know I speak on the podcast with Bill. I'm with Bill, but I do this stuff myself. I re-listen to the podcast. I make my own summaries of the podcast because I want to grow. I'm still a student of this and a very, very early student of it. So it's cool to go back and see it. But sometimes I'm like, damn, David, you should have just shut up at that time.
I always have to shut up. So here we go. Are you ready? We're going to finish this off. And it opens up where I left off last week. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Knowing the real difference between an asset and a liability is another key to wealth. An asset is anything that creates net wealth or net income for you. An asset is anything that puts more money into your pocket than it took out from it. A liability is something that does not do that. A liability is anything that takes money away from your pocket without putting it back into your pocket more than it took. By that definition, some of the items that people consider as assets are really liabilities. Homes that are mortgaged are liabilities. They are the bank's asset. Cars are liabilities. They take more from you in cash than they give back. Wealthy people obviously have more assets than liabilities. That is just obvious. Can you imagine being wealthy when your true liabilities are more than your true assets? Assets grow the wealth for wealthy people. Analyze your life and reclassify everything in it as an asset or a liability, as we have defined them. Always maintain more assets than liabilities. Otherwise, you will have a zero or negative wealth, debt. It is such a simple formula. There's nothing wrong with buying liabilities. Indeed, many of life's most enjoyable things, beautiful homes, boats, and cars, are by our new definition liabilities. But they make life enjoyable. So go ahead and enjoy, but never let your liabilities, as we have defined them, exceed your assets, as we have defined them. Otherwise, you will soon end up in negative wealth. Always maintain that positive balance. If you wish to have that nice home, the way to get it first is to work on having an asset that produces an income that is high enough to finance your mortgage. Then use it to pay for your house payments. So get assets first and use them as financial liabilities. By the way, you do not count yourself as an asset. Getting a job to earn money to pay your mortgage is not the way. That is called working for your money, and it is an often unhealthy and dangerously entrapping cycle to get into. Your money should always work for you. The money you earn with your mind and hands on your job or work is used to acquire investments and assets. These assets and investments then generate income on their own without much further intervention from you to buy the liabilities for you. If at present you do not know how to do that, then get books and advisors who can show you how to do that in your situation. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Live a luxurious life. Remember, life is images of the mind expressed. Keep improving yourself and your environment and surroundings with luxury and beautiful nature. It is from what is around you that many of your mental images are formed, and you, therefore, should have a good source of mental imagery. Luxury and a healthy environment and nature breed more wealth by breeding higher images of the mind. Live in as much luxury as you feel comfortable and happy with. I am wealth, I am abundance, I am joy. Take care of Mother Nature, the goose that lays the golden eggs. Do not pollute or destroy the environment, quickly or slowly. That is killing the same source that enables you to be. Remember the law of cause and effect. The law never fails. I am wealth, I am abundance, I am joy. Money is value energy that, like all energy, lives to flow and needs to flow to stay alive. Help it flow cheerfully and it will be attracted to you. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Give the service that others need. Increase their value. We are here to serve each other, to act as growth enablers for each other. Do this in your own capacity and money will automatically flow in. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Say to yourself and believe it. Money loves me and I love money. This will be true for you to the extent that you can say this comfortably and with joy without feelings of guilt. If you find yourself guilty, find the reason why and ask yourself how true that reason is and where it came from. To the extent that you are comfortable with money and you welcome and love it, so shall you be wealthy. I am wealth, I am abundance, I am joy. Money is an energy that allows freedom and loves freedom. It goes where there is freedom and where it is given freedom. Misers and stingy people, although they try their hardest to keep money, make it hardest for them to acquire and keep money. I am wealth, I am abundance, I am joy. Enjoy money. I am wealth, I am abundance, I am joy. Do not chase and serve money. Don't be enslaved by it or seek to hoard it. Instead, be with it and have a free and relaxed relationship with it. I am wealth, I am abundance. I am joy. Money enjoys and loves being in the presence of wealth consciousness. It loves the company of people who love and enjoy money. And like all of life, it multiplies and flourishes in the presence of the conditions that it loves. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Treat money as a live personality. Treat it as you would a good friend. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. The more you give value by selling valuable goods and services, by showing others how to obtain value and wealth, by buying other people's products and services, and by sharing, the more the money comes back to you through the law of cause and effect. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Dedicate a few minutes a day, every day, to study of life, wealth, and your profession. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. If one person can accomplish $1 million worth of business in a given time, three people working together in harmony can accomplish much more than $3 million. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Be comfortable with money. Feel free around it. Talk about it, treat it, and love it as you would a close friend. In that attitude, you will attract it. If you fear it or refuse to love it, you repel it. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Some people have a problem with loving money, but to attract money, you need to love it. To attract anything, loving it is the fastest way to do it. It is also true that you also attract what you fear. When you fear money, you do not attract money. You attract whatever it is that you fear about money. Feel free to love money, genuinely love it, but watch yourself and do not let that love turn to greed and covetousness. But love it. Money moves to those who love it most. Money is a lovely thing. It is a statement of abundance, not scarcity. Abundance is a natural state of the source. It frees people to pay attention to other things in their lives. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. A very important and fundamental key to wealth is multiple sources of income. Build multiple sources of income for your life. There are numerous good books on this. Multiple sources of income are your key to financial freedom. They are a manifestation of your dynamic, free, and multidimensional nature. More accurately, make sure that each income stream is a business, not a job. A job is something that requires you to be there for it so that it can make money for you. A business is something that once you set up, does not need you to be there to keep going or growing. A job needs you. A business does not. That is the difference. Some businesses are actually jobs. You may own a business. That is a job for you. It needs you to tend to it. Without your constant attention, it fails. Jobs take your time and freedom. Businesses give you time and freedom. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Teach wealth consciousness to your children from an early age. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Remember, have multiple streams of income that do not need you to be present for them to keep producing. To have multiple sources of income, simply desire it to be so. Make it part of your goals. Visualize it. Start buying books and magazines and talking to people. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Of highest importance, remember always that the universe gives you exactly, exactly what you are and think. Read this twice. If you believe that money is bad, is unworthy, is evil, is shameful, or anything else negative, and if you believe that you are none of those things yourself, you create a conflict within you. You give the universe the message that you are a good and positive person and that money is bad and a negative thing. So, in the interest of honoring your conflicting message, the universe gives you conflicting results, and you end up with little money. If you believe you are a good person, then truly believe that money is a good thing, and vice versa. Those who believe they are good people and that money is bad end up with little money. those who believe they are bad people and that money is for good people end up with no money. Those who feel they love money and that money loves them, that is all good and bad, just as they are, as the ones who end up with it. And always remember that if you believe in abundance, you shall have it. If you do not, you shall not have it. You must seek to understand intricately the abundance of the universe. See it, feel it, understand it, and be it. You get exactly what you think and are. To the extent that you think of and believe in shortages, you shall have them. To the extent that you think of and believe in abundance, you shall have it. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. All other things held constant. To the extent that an individual or society understands and uses money in the right, productive, and multiplicative way, so will it have wealth and happiness. And this ends our book, A Happy Pocket Full of Money. So there, Super Millennial, sounds like a lot of advice you've heard before, maybe?
Yep, pretty much.
So what's your take?
I think the biggest thing for me is the two parts that I took away from this was the relationship that you must have with money in order to, you know, have a good relationship with it must be good. I think so many people think that money is evil for some reason, and it makes no sense to me because people want nice things. People want to be able to afford all this stuff, but then say money's evil. You're never going to attract it. I used to think that was like one of the things that was wrong with me because I was like, well, I want to have a lot of money. I want to own a nice house, have cars, or be able to, you know, travel when I want, or be able to help people around me without putting myself in, you know, a predicament where I don't have it or anything like that. So that was one thing I always had like a constant battle with, but this makes perfect sense. I'm saying if you're in the right place, then your right place with money is a good relationship, then there's nothing wrong with it. I think so many people need to understand that.
So, yeah, there's a lot of nuggets in here. A lot of things that I teach you, the kids and everything else, is that you have to have streams of income. And one of the most important streams that you're creating is this passive income. And so for me, passive income has really changed my life. I can remember I made well over $1 million off the Stress Response book. And that book, it's not like they dropped $1 million check in my account, but there would be money coming in all the time. And then when I would least expect it, in the mail would come a check for $5,000, $10,000. It was like, God, I love to see those checks come in, right? Now, how do you create passive income? Well, nowadays with the internet, there's so many ways to make passive income. Remember, this is income that you're making while you sleep. So books are a way of doing it, right? Creating courses, investments, stock markets, those are passive incomes. Direct sales businesses, MLMs, those are businesses. I coached, you met two of them, that were self-made millionaires from direct sales businesses. And I see one of them on Facebook just traveling the world in their RV. And they're traveling the world with money coming in consistently. So yeah. You have to, this takes work to build this, but other things nowadays, you could create a YouTube channel that can make you money. You know, you could create businesses like affiliate marketing. Affiliate marketing can make you money. Podcasting can make you money. If we wanted to, we can turn this into a source of income if we wanted commercials in there. You know, that's our choice, right?
Bill fights me on that.
Yes, but you know, you fight me, I know. But things like products, right? So in the clinics, we were doing millions of dollars out of Elite Fit Forever, but the biggest income was the passive income from the supplements. You know, if you create products, you create things like that. That's how you create passive income. So don't think that you don't know how, or you can't, or you don't have time and things like that. So I think that what he says in there, that's one of the most important things, people. You have to have different streams of income to come in. It's so important. This new business we're building is all about building passive income. It's the reason I won't coach for a living, because I will only give so many coaching slots. Why? Because I have to have time to write books. I have to have time to create courses. I have to have time to work communities. I have to have a time to make things and create things, our supplements, our lines. This is how you become wealthy, people. And wealth isn't just money. It's about freedom. So you have to figure out a way to do that for yourself. Now, the other thing that I took in there that was amazingly, and I wish I would have gotten that when I was younger, was create assets to pay for your liabilities. It's brilliant, right? So one of my daughters looking to buy a house. And I said, before you buy a house, create your streams of income. And I never read this before, but this is exactly what I was telling her. I go, so if you have a stream of income and your house payment is $700 a month, and you're making a stream of income at $700 a month, you don't have a liability anymore. That income, if it's passive, you're paying for it. And so I always had passive. I had, even from the VA, I actually had passive stuff paying my car payment. That car payment is already paid for before I got the car. Does that make sense to you, David? You understand?
Yeah, that was something that I learned really quick. You know, when we started, I picked up a stream of income, you know, that covered the exact amount for my car payment. And for the last 4 years, I'd never had to work to pay for that. It was something that I knew every month it was coming in, and it was something that I had little to no work to do for it.
Yes.
And it was great, because it was one of those things that when I was able to cover something like that, it was one of the weights off my shoulders. It was one of those things I could take out and put behind the blinders and focus on everything else.
And you got to get out of your head that you can't do something, right? Because I'm 60 and I'm doing this stuff. Now, I do have David behind me that helps me a lot. But remember, my first money was doing infomercials. I made QVC. I'd go on QVC and I would do a show on QVC and money would be pouring in for a couple months. You know, every time they ran the damn thing, it was more money coming in. So I was 30 years old when I started figuring this out, you know, and nobody taught me it. I just figured it out, you know. So the other thing I think that's important, if we're going to talk about money, is you've got to grow. So you got to understand, every dollar you have, you either spend or you invest it. And you want to look at, where am I spending money and where am I investing money? And if you're spending more money than you're investing, you got an issue.
Yeah.
That's when you create liabilities. But investment doesn't mean the return is always going to be money. Because if you're investing in yourself, and you're investing in courses, you're investing in development, you're investing in changing, that allows you to create more wealth. And so every time you know, what are you getting out of every dollar you put out? You know, so if you go out to eat and you go to a movie and you spend $100, is that investing or spending? And it can be both. It really is your mindset. See, I can't tell you what you're investing or spending money on, right? Yeah. So I think that's so important. And I'm watching Linda get ready for her craft show. And she just loves it. And she doesn't even have to do this. She likes to do this, you know, and she'll find something for $5, sell it for $50, and she'll do it online. And so that way she's doing what she likes, and she puts it online, and she doesn't do anything. They come into the house and they pick it up, right? That's a little business that she has. Now, that business requires her to work on things, but, you know, you could still take that to another level too. Does that make sense to you, David?
Yeah, and I also think that it's one of those things too, where if you enjoy doing it, I think this is a big one where he talks about, like, for creating businesses where you could continue creating businesses. If you enjoy what you're doing, create another side income so your business or your job, it becomes your hobby. So you're still, like, for her, she enjoys the hell out of it. You know, if there was no money involved for it, she'd do it
anyway. Sure.
But that's where you create other side income, so you can focus on this and keep it as an enjoying thing. Because when money starts getting slow or things like that, you start to stress about the job and all this stuff, and next thing you know, your hobby is becoming a stress instead of you enjoying it.
And I think that's important what you're saying, because one of the things he says, if money's making you anxious, if you can't feel comfortable around money, if you can't talk about money, if you feel you have to hide money or you can't be forward about money, if you don't treat money like a close friend, like Gandhi says, money will treat you poorly. It just will. You will never have enough. And listen, I've been in both states. It took me a long time to figure this out. You know, I've always been good at making money and not always good at holding on to it because I would do foolish investments because I wasn't dialed in. Now I don't do that anymore. I'm really good dialed in what I do. I'm very meticulous. I live well below my means. That's kind of something I want to do. That's especially next year. I'm basically going to just get rid of everything because I understand what he's saying about liabilities. People, we're programmed to buy homes. It's the worst investment you can do unless you have streams of income. I know it sounds horrible when I say this because it goes against the cultural story, but it doesn't make sense to me. And I'm very careful in when I teach this because it's a liability. I'm glad he said that because it is, if it's not putting money in your pocket, it's a liability. And if you're taking a 30-year mortgage, what are you betting 30 years of your life that you have a liability? It doesn't make sense to me. And people go, well, if I rent, then I'm giving somebody else money. No, no. When you rent, you're living how you want to live, right? And you're working on building your wealth and your streams and your things. Because if you build your streams that can pay your mortgage, then knock yourself out because it's not a liability. It's an asset.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the difference between buying homes for personal use and buying homes to create a stream of income, you know, those are obviously different.
The two opposite, absolutely not even in the same part.
Exactly. Because I have friends that buy cars to flip cars. I have friends that buy cars to just own a bunch of cars. One is his stream. One is liabilities. There's very, very different from that. And I think that's a great point, you know. Because a lot of people are kind of culturally programmed to own a house, have a family, do all this stuff.
That's success to them. And it's just because the renting and leasing, I taught you that.
It's flexibility for me. I'm not tied down to anything, but I have the flexibility to live the way I want. And I think that for a lot of people, if you have family and stuff like that, maybe it's different. Situations are always going to play differently, but you got to look at it whether it's a liability or not.
And it could be a liability of your energy because we own properties and people rent out properties and they're doing that. And you say, well, that's an asset. Well, yes, but then this breaks and I have to fix that and they have to do this. And then all of a sudden, that's a get rid of all. I'm getting rid of all that. I just want the cash. And then I'll take that and invest it the way I want to invest it.
Yeah.
You know, because a liability can also be my time, my state of mind. You know, if I have a place in Miami and I'm renting it and it's paying for itself, it looks like an asset until something goes wrong and then it's not an asset anymore. Mm-hmm. So those are the things. If my businesses, I want them to always be assets. One of the things from YBL, one of the founders, his name is Preston Brown. He's 37 years old, self-made. He'll do $200 million in business. And he has, I believe, 14 businesses that all operate without him. And his whole philosophy is if it needs me, it's not working. And so I'm going to bring him on the show and he's going to teach. And these are our future partners and everything else. Cause I like that philosophy.
I do too.
I understand, you know, it works, but everybody can do it, Dave. And I'm telling you, if you want to create a source, right? I've worked with people that create sources. I've helped them create courses. I've helped them create Billy Weiss, we built this entire wellness program for him in North Carolina, and that thing makes him money every day. You just have to step out of your cultural box and say, okay, how can I create this passive income? How can I do this? But it will always take work, people. It's not ever easy. Well, it's easy. I don't want to use that word either, but it's not like magical. You have to work at it. And then once it's built, then it's not a job anymore. But if you own a business and the business doesn't operate without you, so that was great. And when you were in the clinics and I got the clinics running, where did Linda and I go? We went to Europe for a couple of months. I don't need to be here. I you guys worked. I don't have to work anymore. That is a business that serves you, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, you guys made more money when we were gone than when I was here. And I thought, maybe I'm a liability. You know, so that was wonderful. I got to get out of the way. It was really interesting, but that's freedom.
Yeah.
And everybody can build that.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that too is having the confidence when you leave, because if you're still thinking about it while you're on vacation, if you're still worrying about it, if you're still, let me go and make sure they're doing okay, and you're micromanaging, you're still working. I don't care if you're in a different country. I don't care if you're with other people. If your mind and your energy is still working, that's not passive. That's not passive at all.
That's a want of control, right? You're in and you're still trying to control things. That means that your identity is wrapped in your business. Instead of your business serving you, you're serving the business. And it doesn't work like that. The business should be something that you build to help others and serve you and your customers. But part of that service has to be freedom. And if you don't have freedom, then, well, guess what? You're a slave. There's only one way or another. There's not, right? Both ways.
Yeah, it's pretty black and white when you look at it that way.
It's pretty black and white. You have anything else, Dave?
Man, I'm kind of sad that we're ending this book, but they did end it on a great
note. I think you'll like the new book. Daniil from the community recommended this book, and it's an interesting book. You know, I mean, these are two, you know, it's pretty amazing what they're going to teach. Let me see if I can look at a little bit of this, you know. So in April 2015, Archbishop Tutu traveled to the Dalai Lama's home in Dharamsala, India, to celebrate His Holiness' 80th birthday to create what they hoped would be a gift for others. They looked back on their long lives to answer a single burning question. How do we find joy in the face of life's inevitable suffering? And so what they did was they traded stories, and then it came out to be this book. And so they will explore the nature of true joy and confront each of the obstacles of joy. So we're going to learn something very special from two very high purple zone energy people. And I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a perspective that I'm interested to learn about for sure.
That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.